Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, come among us, Lord. Open us to hear from you, Lord. Open us to see you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat if you would. Two places I'd love for you to find in your Bible if you would. Isaiah chapter 9, also Exodus chapter 6, Isaiah chapter 9, Exodus chapter 6. We're starting our Christmas season. I want to tell you where this comes from, the idea of a surrendered Christmas. And honestly, it grows out of last Christmas because there were so many things that felt like, well, there were just places where I felt like I was robbed last year. Things that I wanted, you know, things that I was accustomed to for Christmas, things that make Christmas Christmas for me that I couldn't do, people that I couldn't get with, people that I couldn't see, things that just, it just felt like it was being, you know, pulled out of my grip. And I came across this title from an author, Rebecca Lyons. She has a book out. It's a devotional book. It's called The Surrendered Yes. And I got to thinking, you know what? Maybe this Christmas, what if this Christmas coming up, I could have a heart that says, look, you can't lose what you've already given up. What if you could just surrender it ahead of time? The things that in my mind, in my heart, just in the practicality of it, it's not Christmas unless, right? What if I could just have a heart that says, look, you can't lose what you've already given up. What you've already surrendered cannot be stolen from you. And what if I just, ahead of time, made a conscious decision to say, Lord, in Jesus' name, I give all of this to you. Lord, I just want to lay down my expectations. Lord, I want to lay down all of the trimming, all of the accoutrements, all of the trappings, Lord, in which I get trapped on a regular basis. Does that make sense to anybody else? Come on, work with me if it does. Does that make sense to anybody else? And so I got to thinking, what if you could just have this heart that asks the question, okay, so what is it, what will it take for Christmas to be Christmas for you? What are the must-haves? What are the things, you know, without which nothing, right? Because here's the thing we've learned over the last year, year and a half. There are a lot of things that could be just sort of whisked away and taken from us. For instance, if you were to have a heart that said, it just won't be Christmas if my dad can't be sitting at the end of the table. Well, you know what? Don't come to my house this Christmas because my dad won't be there. If you had a heart that said, it just won't be Christmas unless mom makes this dish or Aunt Sally makes that dish. Well, what if they can't get on a flight and they can't make it in? You see what I'm saying? What are the things that you've got in your head? Maybe it comes from your growing up. Maybe it comes from all of that. And maybe there are just some things that the enemy has whispered in your ear. You've been robbed. You've been cheated. You can't have what you wish you could have. So therefore, give up hope. Just give up hope. What are the things that it would take for Christmas to be Christmas for you? Let me ask you this. Are you in need of a rescue? Because here's the thing. As we start the Christmas season, we're not going to start with angels and shepherds and wise men on camels. We're not going to start with plush toys, the plush toys of Christmas. Stephanie found this incredible plush toy manger set, which is great. It's great because the kids can play with it. You don't have to worry about anything breaking. It's great. You have this plush toy Christmas set, and if you get really frustrated, you can just sort of throw them into the manger. And I don't know. Who knows? But are you in need of a rescue? So instead of starting with all of the cuddly parts, we're going to start by saying, Lord, where do we fit in the story? Is there an already in motion story going on that Christmas is the next chapter in it? I saw a thing this morning. It said Jesus being born in a manger in Bethlehem is the functional equivalent of the insertion of a SEAL team on a fishing trawler. Here's the thing, y'all. Christmas is not the beginning of the story. Christmas is the next step in this release that happens. The story begins way back in creation. In fact, it begins before that. The story begins when God has pronounced it all good. Let there be light, and there's light, and it's good. Creatures and crawlers and swimmers, and it's good. And let us make man in our image, and in the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them, and it was good. It was very good. In fact, one word for that that you could really translate from the Hebrew and you'd be right on track is, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. But even in that moment of everything being as everything should be, and isn't that what we look for at Christmas time, right? Everything being as everything should be. And even in that moment, there was an enemy of their soul and ours who was ready to just pull the rug out from under them. And sure enough, in that precious place, in that precious moment, what was being held onto was snatched. What if you could surrender it? What if you could surrender it? So here's the deal. Are you in need of a rescue? Did you see that meme on Facebook? Somebody put it, I don't know who put it in the first place, but that deal. So you're telling me I need Jesus to go to heaven. And the response is, bro, you need Jesus to go to Walmart, right? Are you in need of a rescue? Because I am. I find myself regularly in need of a rescue. And not just at certain stages in my life. I'm saying at various places in my day, I find myself in need of a rescue from Jesus. So what if you could just have this prior posture that says, Lord, I surrender my expectations, and Lord, I throw myself on your mercy for a rescue. So those are the kinds of things that we're going to be talking about over these next couple of weeks. So let me take you to Isaiah chapter 9, Exodus chapter 6, and you may say, Rusty, you've been a pastor for a long time. You know those are not Christmas passages, right? I mean, everybody knows Christmas, but you want to read Christmas, you read Luke chapter 2. You want to read Christmas, you read Matthew chapter 1. You got angels, you got shepherds, you got wise men on camels, you got the whole bit. But I love to start in Isaiah. I love to start in Isaiah, and you may know some of these precious passages from Isaiah, but you've got Isaiah chapter 9, but when I was flipping there the other day and just in my time with the Lord, my eye landed on Isaiah 6 before I made it to Isaiah 9. Let me just read this to you because I can't not. You've got Isaiah 9, but in Isaiah 6, there's this place where Isaiah has this aha moment with the Lord, and he says, woe is me, I am ruined, I am undone, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Isaiah finds himself just at wit's end. The King has died, world is turned upside down, and Isaiah says, woe is me. You ever been there? You ever been there at Christmas time? Woe is me, I'm undone. I know what it is to be a man of unclean lips and live amidst the people of unclean lips. Don't you? Don't you know what it is to live in this moment, in this environment, where if you were to be positive, you would be out of place. And everything around you is going in the other direction. And if you wanted to be that person who frames it in Jesus, who frames it with love and with joy and with peace, you would find yourself swimming upstream. You ever been there? Isaiah says, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. I know what it is to get swept downstream. I know what it is to try to swim upstream. I'm a man of unclean lips. I live amidst the people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King. Lord, in Jesus' name, would you give us a glimpse of yourself? Right across the page from Isaiah 6 in my Bible. I've got it highlighted, so it draws my eye. It says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and she will call him Emmanuel, God with us, put on flesh to dwell among us. Christmas is this insertion behind enemy lines. Christmas is this Trojan horse of a maneuver, where the innocuous birth of a baby trumpets the end of our enemy. Isaiah chapter 9, you got it? Isaiah chapter 9, where it says this. It says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, in the land of shadows, a light has dawned. That sounds like Christmas, doesn't it? Maybe you celebrate Christmas at home with an Advent wreath where you light a candle week by week as you get closer to the blaze that is the coming of Jesus. Little bit of light, little bit more light, little bit more light until boom, everything shines. Everything shines. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. He says, you've enlarged the nation. You've increased their joy. They rejoice before you like people rejoice at harvest. You know how people rejoice at harvest? The way people rejoice at harvest is with this light heart that says, finally, all the hard work has come to a conclusion. The way people rejoice at harvest is with a heart that says, I can finally pay my bills. I can finally get out from under. The way people rejoice at harvest is when they say, I'm free. I'm free. And I've paid off the places where I owed, and I can buy my kid a pair of shoes. That's how people rejoice at harvest. They can put food on the table without somebody else's name on it. That's how people rejoice at harvest. It says they rejoice like warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder, when the enemy is vanquished, when victory is won. That's how people rejoice when the light dawns, when the light finally comes. It says, you've shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of the oppressors. It's a rescue mission. So what does that rescue look like? What does that rescue look like? Go with me to Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6, that great story of deliverance, when God frees his people from generations of bondage, the yoke across their shoulders, right? The burden of slavery. In fact, in Isaiah, he speaks about this deliverance that comes, this rescue mission that comes. And when I go to Exodus chapter 6, that's what you've got. Again, I'm flipping to it in my Bible, and the first place I wound up was in Exodus chapter 3, because that's sort of a well-worn pathway to me. One of the things that's going to happen for you when you get involved in this Every Word All Year plan next year, right? When you start with the rest of the family, we're reading all together, you know what's going to happen? You're going to find places and you're going to say, so that's where that story is. I know that story. That's my story. That's where that is. You're going to come across a place where there's a turn of phrase buried somewhere in Malachi, and you're going to say, oh, I'm going to underline that. I'm going to highlight that. I'm going to know where to come back and find that. And you're going to find those places where you find yourself in the pages of Scripture. Exodus chapter 3 is one of those places. This is the burning bush passage. It has nothing to do with the sermon exactly, but I just want to share it with you because I love it. Moses finds himself on the backside of the desert, deep darkness, disappointments in life. The world has been snatched out from under him, and Moses sees this bush that is burning, and it's not because you remember the story. You remember the story of Moses. It says he turns aside. Moses turns aside and he goes to see this thing that God is doing. And the Lord speaks to him. He says, don't come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Man, isn't that what you long for? A place that could be sanctified, a place that could be set apart, a place that could be holy. That's what makes it so hard when Christmas isn't Christmas, doesn't it? I mean, when you've got these expectations, it's got to be just so, and it's not just so. You want this deal where there's this moment that it's just right. You ever had one of those times when you try to give somebody a gift and because you want to see their eyes when they open it? You want them to get it. You want them to understand why it is when you saw that, you thought of her. When you saw that, you thought of him. And they open it and you can see in their eyes they just didn't get it. And it's like, man, that was one of the things I was hoping to make Christmas for me. Anyway, the Lord speaks to Moses. He says, take off your sandals. The place where you're standing is holy. And he begins to just declare, here's who I am. I'm the God of your fathers. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I've been here before. You may not have been here before, but I've been here before. And he begins to speak to him. And I love it at verse 7, Exodus 3:7. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, their oppressors. I'm concerned about their suffering. And I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land. And I just wanted to riff on this with you for a minute. I just wanted to preach on this with you for a minute because this is powerful stuff. Can I tell you some good news? God sees you. You have not escaped the notice of the Almighty. Can I get an amen on that? Thank you. This matters. God sees you. I've seen the misery of my people. What is it? What is it that it's going to take for Christmas to be Christmas for you? And what if it's not there? He says, I've seen the misery. I've heard them crying out. I don't know if there's anything going on in your life that you've got this internal conversation going on about, and you work like the devil to make sure nobody's even aware of it. You work so hard to make sure nobody's aware of the emptiness that's churning inside you. But God says, I've heard them crying out, even if they've been crying out in secret, undercover, in times when you thought no one was looking. But God says, I've seen and I've heard. And can I tell you something about God? This expresses the heart of God. It says, I'm concerned. I know what you may be thinking. You may be thinking, Rusty, I know God is concerned about people generally. And I know there are some people about whom God is concerned particularly. But given where I've been and what I've done, given my current circumstances, Rusty, it's hard for me to hear that God is concerned about me now. And sometimes the enemy just throws a lot of evidence to the contrary at you, right? If God was concerned, he'd have healed you by now. If God was concerned, he'd have delivered you by now. If God was concerned, God would have made sure that you weren't misinterpreted and maligned for the good that you were trying to do. If God were really God, come on. Come on, what does it take to make Christmas Christmas for you? And maybe you need to surrender some of that. But the word says, the word of God says, I've seen, I've heard, I'm concerned, and now I'm coming to rescue them. Now I'm coming to rescue them. Exodus chapter 6, here's what the rescue looks like. Here's what the rescue looks like. And you can't say Christmas is Christmas if all you're thinking about is a baby in a manger, because the baby in the manger is the insertion moment. The baby in the manger is when the team lands behind enemy lines. And you got to follow the story all the way up through the Jesus who comes to announce the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You got to follow the story up all the way through the Jesus who says, I am Lord over all creation, so winds and sea be still. And death and disease work backwards. And hunger and thirst, you're not welcome here. You got to go all the way through the story, all the way from the baby in the manger. You got to go all the way to the child who says, didn't you know I'd be about my father's business? You got to go all the way from the baby in the manger, all the way to the young man who has a vision that captures and arrests people's hearts. And he says, follow me. And they do. They drop their nets and they go. You got to go all the way to the one who says, my kingdom is not of this world. The one who says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. The one who says, finally and completely, it is finished. You got to go all the way to the people who are searching an empty tomb for the body of a friend to realize that it just started at Christmas. Yeah? Yeah? So here's what the rescue looks like. Here's what God says through Moses to his people, the ones about whom he has seen their suffering. He's heard their cries. He's concerned, and he's coming to their rescue. Exodus chapter 6, beginning at verse 6, he says this. He says, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people and be your God, and then you will know that I'm the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will bring you to the land that I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a possession, for I am the Lord. This is actually going to show up later at Easter time when we have a Passover reenactment, when we drink the cups of Passover. It grows out of these I will statements. In fact, I almost called this sermon the five I wills, you know, like five golden rings. The five I wills of Christmas, when God says, I will bring you out. I will free you from. I will redeem you. I will bring you. I will receive you, and I will bring you to myself. Let me just ask you, if you're in need of a rescue, if you find yourself in need of a rescue, what do you need to be brought out from? What do you need to be freed from? One of the things that makes Jesus Jesus is the way he fulfills those Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah. When the Messiah comes, he will break the chains that bind us. When the Messiah comes, he will open the prison doors. He will give sight to the blind. He will cause the lame to walk. He will cause the deaf to hear. When the Messiah comes, and God says, here's what I want you to tell the people, Moses. I will bring you out. What do you need to be brought out from? I know people in this room, who are trapped and chained and snared, and you need to be brought out. Do you know that about yourself? Do you know that? He says, I will free you from. There are some people in this room right now who fear that they will never be free of the things that have held them in bondage since they were little bitty kids, when somebody that they thought was supposed to love them and took care of them did the opposite. And they're broken in a really deep place. And they've spent a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of money trying to make sure that nobody sees where they're broken, but they're broken. And they don't think they'll ever be free. Where do you need to be brought out? Where do you need to be freed? Where do you need to be redeemed? Redeemed in a way that says, you don't have to be slave to that anymore. You don't have to be slave to that anymore. Now, it's one thing to set somebody free. You can bum rush the slave auction and scatter the slave drivers. You can take the hammer and the chisel and you can set people free. But as long as somebody has a legal claim, but he says, I will redeem you. I'm not just gonna enact your freedom. I'm going to have you declared mine. I'm going to buy you back. I'm going to redeem you. And then I'm going to receive you. Because you know what I see happen sometimes? I see this happen sometimes when we've got an invitation and people come forward and they pray. And there's a little bit of freedom that comes. Freedom from an addiction. Freedom from a broken hurt and heart. Freedom from something. And then they get up from here. I was talking with a friend earlier today. He says, I've given this to the Lord. I've given this to the Lord. I've given this to the Lord. But it keeps coming back. It keeps coming back. So what if there could be a time when God said, not only will I set you free, not only will I redeem you, but I'm going to give you a place to belong. I'm going to receive you. I'm going to open my heart. I'm going to open my arms. I'm going to welcome you in so that you don't have to get free and then leave. No, no, no. You've got a place to belong. He says, I will bring you to myself. That's huge. I will bring you to myself. That's what Christmas is for. That's what Christmas is about. That's how Jesus comes in this innocuous way, unthreatening, And he makes his way not only into a hurt and broken world, but he makes his way into a hurt and broken heart like yours. And it seems kind of non-threatening, you know? Sure, babies, mangers, that's cool. But what if he could find his way down into the very depths of your soul and begin to speak a peace to you that you've only dreamed of? In fact, you stopped dreaming of it because it was just too hard when those dreams didn't come true. Here's one of the really hard parts. In verse 9 of Exodus chapter 6. Honestly, I've never even paid attention to this verse before. I mean, I get so caught up in those great promises, those great I wills. I will bring you out. I will free you from. I will redeem you. I will receive you. I will bring you to myself. I get so caught up in those. I had never even noticed this until just a couple of days ago, where it says, Moses reported this to the Israelites, just like I'm reporting it to you now. Just like I'm telling you now, God's got plans. God's got thoughts that he thinks towards you. He's got plans that he has for you, plans to prosper and not harm you. God doesn't want you trapped. God doesn't want you robbed. God's got plans for you. And Moses reported this to the Israelites, just like I'm reporting it to you now. But they did not listen to him. They did not listen to him. Just like some of you can't hear me now. Oh, you're hearing me with your ears. But it's hard for it to sink down into your heart. It's hard for it to go past the level of your conscious understanding because there's something in you that says, Rusty, I get that that's true for a lot of other people. I get that God is concerned about humanity in general, although honestly, I don't understand how it plays out in some circumstances. I get that there are good people that God looks out for. But when you tell me God is concerned, he's heard my misery. He's concerned about my suffering. And he's coming to my rescue. When you say that, there's something in me that kind of shuts down and closes off. And I have a hard time receiving that. When Moses reported this to the Israelites, they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and because of their harsh labor. Could I just invite myself past your defenses for a minute? I understand the discouragement. I do. When things get hard and it's hard to see a path forward, could I just invite myself past your defenses for a minute? And say, I get it, you're discouraged. Me too. I've had things that were taken from me that I didn't want to have taken from me. I've had expectations go unmet for a long time. There have been things I hoped for, dreamed for. Dreams that I had for the future that at this point there's no way they're going to happen. Right? I mean, no matter what, I am not going to be an astronaut from this point forward. What are your dreams that have gone unmet, unrealized? And you're at the point now where you're like, it's probably not ever going to happen. It says they didn't listen because of their discouragement. But Lord, in Jesus' name, would you come and sort of rest your hand on the hearts of your sons and daughters? Father, would you breathe across the dry bones of our lives? Lord, would you re-enliven, reinvigorate? Would you give life to our bones, Lord? Even if it's just for a moment, even if it's just a glimpse or a glimmer, Lord, would you give us hope? It says they did not listen because of their discouragement and because of their harsh labor. Some of you feel trapped. You feel trapped Because it's hard to provide all that's needed because there are people that depend on you. And no matter what, it seems like there's always more hands that need to be filled than you've got to fill them with. And everywhere you turn, there's something else that yet needs to be done. Everywhere you turn, there's another obligation waiting to be met. And it's weary-making in your soul. And because of that, you just can't hear the hope. Well, what if you could make a prior decision to surrender? Lord, I give up. Lord, I give in. I surrender my hopes, my dreams, my aspirations. I surrender all the things that I think have to happen, must happen, in order for there to be a sacred place, in order for there to be a sacred moment. Lord, I surrender what I can't control. Father, I ask you to come and be God over my heart, over my home, over my friends, my family, the people that I love, over my experience. Lord, I give up. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. Because, Lord, I am in need of a rescue. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, maybe the rescue you need is a physical rescue. Maybe you find yourself just burdened and broken physically, emotionally. Whatever the case may be, we'll pray with you if you'd like. People could pray with you, pray over you, pray into you about just breaking the chains that the enemy has on you. And he says, I will bring you out. I will free you from. I will redeem you. I will take you. I will receive you. Maybe you're in a spiritual bondage. You say, Rusty, I'm not even sure I believe all this stuff. I'm not even sure I believe all this stuff. I don't even know why I'm here. I'm just here. Okay. But Father, in Jesus' name, would you speak beyond our discouragement? Would you speak beyond our harsh labor? Would you speak into our brokenness, into our hopelessness? Lord, would you speak into the dashed expectations. Father, draw us to yourself.